you crying about Celine Dion.
Yeah, that's funny. You should have recorded me like having a weeping, going, I love her. I love her. She's so good. No one knows how hard it was for her to sing. It was so hard for her to sing. But you didn't. Because you're like, oh, I'm going to be a nerd and do my nerdy things. Chicken, check one, two. Check one, two. Jimmy.
I mean, you're always welcome to take over the engineering and producing of the podcast, Bob.
Very funny. You fucking would not let me. I would.
No, because I'd want it done properly.
Yeah, exactly. I would fucking do it and I would just slap it together. And then you're like, no, you're going to look at the treble bass and the blah, blah. And I'm like, ugh. You would never let me. You're too controlling with sound. You're too anal with sound.
If you can answer this question, I'll let you edit the podcast.
I've edited podcasts for years.
At what level of lofts should a professional podcast be uploaded at?
At what level of what?
What should the lofts be at?
Mm.
When you release a podcast. Well, it
depends on the mic's
technique.
There's
an industry standard. What is it?
Who cares about the industry standard?
It's minus 16 lufs. This is, should we just watch it real quick? The only podcast that'll tell you how to edit a podcast. I am Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 114 years of audio school to be called Fuckwit. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner is the Italian Gelden. It's the woman who will cry at the drop of a hat or the drop of a handkerchief in the case of Celine Dion. It's Kelly. I almost forgot your name. Big whoop. Want to fight about it for Stuka.
I mean, just to give you a bit of a heads up about what we're going to talk about today, tells you that, yes, I watched Celine sing at the opening ceremony, the closing bit of the opening ceremony of the Olympics. And yes, I had a tear because if you watch the Celine documentary, you would know how hard it was for her to sing because the disease that she's got, she's lost her voice. Like they go through it and it's really hard because she's got no muscles in herself. And it's real sad. But she sang, and she sang very beautiful.
Well, we already talked about this on a prior episode, so.
But yeah, I know, but I'm just highlighting that I was very happy with Celine.
Well, we'll get to our main event later in the episode.
The main event. It's the main event. It's the name of the game. Remember the main event TV show?
Did Larry host that?
Yes, he did. I'm pretty sure he did.
Right? Like at the very beginning of his...
It's a family show, right?
Yeah. But he was like baby Larry Emder.
Yeah, we could never do it because it had to be...
What do you mean?
We could never do the show because it was the family.
The Festukas.
Yeah, because it had to be a girl and it had to be like two kids and two parents. It was four kids and we would have killed each other to be on it. Well, let's face it, I would have been the best one. I mean, the thing is, maybe my older brother... Definitely not my younger brother.
If you're choosing
brother.
A boy and girl from your family, it's Matt, your brother, and you.
Yeah, but my sister, my sister's really smart, but I could see
but
her
Joanne
doubting.
But Joanne would be, she'd be the captain of the team and let you guys do
no,
it.
No, I would be the captain because I would be the
no,
best person
I mean,
for the job.
In the sense of like she'd stand aside because you are already being like this at the age of 42. So she would see how much you would want it and let you do it.
Well, I would be, no, because I would be the strongest. And I think that my brother would be more confident.
Yeah, it's like being married to Donald Trump. I'd be the strongest. I'd be the captain. I'd be the best.
Mm-hmm. It was hosted by Larry Emder. 91-92, weekly hour-long Australian game show that aired on 7 Network.
I don't think I watched 1 minute of it.
Creative director, Craig Johnson, former football player.
That played for Liverpool.
Series creator was former football player Craig Johnson. Yes.
Yeah, the first Australian to play in
that
the
makes
Premier
sense. That makes sense because it would have done well in Britain first before they brought it here.
That's really weird. I didn't know that's what he did after football. Strange.
Name that tune. A song is played. Odd One Out. Oh yeah. Who Am I? Let's name that film. Man, I would have fucking smashed this. I would have smashed this so hard. I mean, they have a mum and dad. My mum probably could have done it. We have to kick dad off. My dad would never have been able to do this. So maybe like me, my mum.
Uncle Danny?
Nah. He wouldn't know. Like, he knows others. He wouldn't know Gate. Like, oh, maybe. I would definitely choose Uncle Danny over Dad. And then maybe my brother, my older brother. But thing is, my sister's smart, but she doubts herself. I could imagine her going, oh, I think it's this. I think it's this. You've got to have confidence in your answer. Who is this podcast for? I'm just thinking, like, about the main event. Remember, and then what was the other one? There was the main event. I always wanted to be on the main event, and I always wanted to be on Double Dare.
Double Dare, yeah. Yeah.
Was Double Dare the one
Double
where
Dare... Sorry, you go.
What was the show for kids? Was it Double Dare where they had the obstacle course at the end and I had to find the coins or the big...
Yes, I think so. Double Dare physical challenge, right?
Yeah.
Dare, Double Dare physical challenge, right?
I feel like maybe there was another show.
But I feel like there's another show that is what you're talking about have, like, with the pots, keys. The keys. You had to find the keys in the obstacle course. I feel like that's Double Dare.
Maybe.
And I feel like that show was hosted by, what's his name? James something. And he now does the ground announcing at the MCG. For all the footy games and cricket games.
TV show Double Dare, and it does say it had an obstacle course at the end.
Yeah, it's definitely Double Dare. I always wanted to be on Double Dare.
Man, I look at these kids like fumbling, doing all these like climb and shit. And
I would have been. I know you think I'm cocky about everything. I would have been great at that show because you had to answer the questions, which I would have been good at, and be good at the obstacle course. And some kids were good at one or the other, but I was smart and also an athlete. So
I was wrong. So there was Double Dare. The show we're talking about was called Amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. And it had the asterisk.
That's right. Who was the host? James.
Amazing. James Sherry.
James Sherry. Yeah, he is the ground announcer at the MCG now.
Fuck, man. What a,
was Double Dare then? Because it was definitely Dare, Double Dare, the physical challenge. And then you had to do the physical challenge.
Yeah, and it was like a physical challenge just between, like, on that part of the stage. But Amazing had that massive obstacle course.
Right.
With the keys.
Yeah, Amazing was great. Amazing was what I always wanted to be on.
And you're like, and they would run past.
I think I like Double Dare too.
But they would run past the three pots. And you're like, look in the pots.
Look in the fucking pots.
Look at the
what
fucking
are you doing?
Pots. There's always a key in the pot, you fuckhead.
I always thought it was lame that they had to wear helmets and crash pads and stuff. I thought that was lame.
We're in the fucking post coffee, suing McDonald's for coffee being too hot era. Everyone's wearing helmets now, man. Fucking woke shit. Woke. Don't want to hurt yourself.
These woke people wearing helmets everywhere.
Oh, God. They're ruining this country.
What other shows did you... Were there any shows that the whole family watched?
It's a knockout.
The Fosukas?
Mate, it's a knockout, number one.
Yeah.
I mentioned It's a Knockout to my family. It's like a big whoop. Also, Young Talent Time. Big whoop.
Oh, we'd never watched Young Talent Time.
No.
We definitely watched It's a Knockout. I feel like even Dad watched that.
Yeah, but you guys had a weird childhood where you weren't allowed to watch anything except if it was on the ABC.
Yeah.
Because what was your
and
game
Dad,
show?
Dad was also like a nightmare because everything was shit. And Mum was also like trying to hide us from American stuff. So like trying to get any... Once Mum and Dad broke up, all bets were off.
Yeah.
But Mum would let us watch stuff once Dad was gone, but wouldn't watch it with us. So the only shows that I remember watching with my mum were The Bill. Because every time it would come on, I got to a certain age where I was like, I don't want to watch The fucking Bill. But every time it came on within 5 minutes, I'd be hooked. Mm. You know what I mean? And mum loved that shit. Every Saturday night, she was watching The Bill. And then she would watch Birds of a Feather. Remember Birds of a Feather?
Of course I remember Birds of a Feather.
Because it was on before the Late Show.
It was on before the Late Show.
The Birds of a Feather was half an hour of hell that I had to just get through before.
Awful.
But what a strange time slot. It was like 8:30 on a... Right? Because what time did the Late Show start?
10 o'clock.
So at 9:30 at night, they were showing it...
Oh, was it an hour show or half hour?
I think it was half an hour. Mm. The Bill was an hour.
But I just remember, like, when it
was... But what a fucking strange time to put a sitcom on at 9:30 on a Saturday night.
Sometimes it would be late, and when you turn it on at, like, 5 to 10, if it was still, like, on the show, you're like...
I hated Birds of a Feather.
Yeah, when I had the credits, it was perfect.
It was shit. Like, it was a shit show. Like, going, you go back and watch it now, you're like, no, it was terrible.
We should go back and watch Birds of a Feather now and see, because it's two, like, single women living together who are a bit older.
They're sisters.
Oh, they're sisters.
Yeah, because their husbands are crims who work together and they get put in jail.
I feel like if we watched it now, it would be funny.
No.
No, I really feel like, because we were kids and we're like, think of it, look at this, two middle-aged women living together. Oh, leave it
there's
out,
there's two different types of British humour, right? There's the stuff that I really like Python and Mighty Boosh, like interesting stuff, Young Ones that you love and stuff.
Oh, Young Ones.
And then there's the type of English shit that... Gervais and Merchant like ripped off in Extras with the whistle blows.
Yeah.
My grandpa and mum would watch that kind of English comedy growing up and I fucking hated it.
I feel like Birds of a Feather was better than that. Porridge,
Open All Hours, Some Mothers Do Have Them, The Good Life.
Are You Being Served?
Boop, 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 boop. I hated that shit.
Playing havoc with my pussy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm talking about my cat, Gerald. Oh, God, I hated it so much.
You know what show?
Robin's Nest.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Fuck, just the worst.
You know what
Man
show?
Man About the House. So I could go on and on. And I will.
And I will. Oh, mate. What a great late show reference. The Bruce McAvaney. It's Olympic season. But Bruce McAvaney was on ABC with Sammy J the other day. And he was talking. And Sammy's like, you know, so what gets you going with this and what, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, obviously I can't wait to see Emma, blah, 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 the swimmer. Who, by the way, just passed Ian Thorpe as our most decorated swimmer.
Yeah.
And I don't see the fucking fanfare for her like Thorpey got.
Is this
anyway.
You talking or
this
Bruce
is me.
McAvaney?
This
talking?
Is me. But,
all right, can we get back to
like,
Bruce?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, blah, blah. You know, oh, Emma, she's so special. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, like Heidi Greschler. Oh, what a great name. I could go on.
Yeah, but I will.
The show in our house that got full rain out of all
our
the things.
Our house in the middle of Werribee.
So this is like, it was, doesn't matter if like whatever else was happening, the TV in the living room.
Doesn't matter.
Had to go. The TV show in the living room at 7 o'clock every weeknight, Sail the Century.
Sail the Century.
Mum's big fucking thing. And it was always like normally like during dinner time and we were always like, oh no, Sail the Century. We hated it, but every fucking night, I'm telling you now, you mentioned it to one of the Festookas, Sail the Century. But also, looking back now, yeah, Tony Barber. I'm talking like primo Tony Barber. And then I remember like when Joe Bailey was there.
Don't go to Guest Viewer. Don't go to Guest Viewer.
Well, I mean, this is going to be late show heavy if we're talking about Sail the Century. That Sail the Century sketch from the late show is probably one of the best sketches where they
it might be the best sketch. It's
feed
great.
The answers to Jane. Oh, yeah. Man, it's so good. Fat lot of good Jew wear, Barber. anyway, but it was always – and then Mum, because Mum always – watch Sail the Century while we're having dinner, trying to answer the questions. And now looking back, that's probably why I am such a...
Portugal!
Yeah. That's why... No. It's the guy.
What's the... Oh, God.
Oh. You know.
And the answer was Paris.
You know.
Oh, I knew it was Paris.
You know what? You were talking. You distracted me. Shut up, kids. That's probably why I'm such a trivia... fucking whiz now because listen, I don't do a lot of things well.
Listen
to the song here in my heart. I quiz stuff for me. Listen, yeah. Tell me
listen,
if I'm wrong.
Listen,
but I'm not. What? I'm fucking good at trivia.
You're pretty, yeah.
I'm strong. I know things.
Yeah.
I know everything. Everything about nothing. If I could have been a doctor, by just like being good at like trivia and quizzes, mate, I'd fucking smack. The amount of times we've played, I remember once we played Trivial Pursuit I think it was me, Jez and Kath playing Trivial Pursuit before Nick Cody's wedding. And there was a question that was a who am I? And it was like for the game. It was a very, or a piece of the pie. It was a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, who am I? I'm a director born in New York or something like that. Or was it? Yeah. Or no, because I don't have who am I. So it was just like a New York director and it was really basic. And I was like, okay, so it could be one of two people really, Woody Allen or Spike Lee.
What about Martin Scorsese?
Yeah, no, the way the question formed, it wasn't that way. It was more like upper, whatever it was. Anyway, and I just was like, hang on. And I was like, everyone shut up. And in my head, I went through the directors and I was like, no. I was like, Spike Lee. And I remember, I think Jez like threw the card. She was like, how the fuck did you know that? I was like, because it wasn't Woody Allen, because the time frame, like blah, blah, blah. Like I went through the mathematics, like beautiful mind in my head. Mate, I'm telling you, I know quiz.
Mm. Mm. It wasn't Woody Allen because you didn't use the term
pedophile. Mate, Scorsese. Can we talk about what we watched this week in terms of like individually?
Individually?
I've been rewatching The Godfathers and Godfather 3. I mean, it's universally panned, but just watching it, you're like, what the fuck is this film about? Like, it's so unclear.
Yeah.
It's so unclear. I
haven't watched it in a long time.
Like, they signed everyone on to do it, and then someone's just, like, written the script on the back of napkins and just thrown it in and gone, yeah, we'll make sure that we get, you know, Pacino to say this and we'll put him in Sicily, we'll do this. But what the fuck?
In Sicily.
But just the line, just when they think I'm out, they pull me back in. That's like, that's probably the best thing from it. But it's like they've got a, like, his daughter, Mary, is in love with her cousin, who played by Andy Garcia, and they're fucking, and she's like, you know, Sofia Coppola, and she's like terrible. She can't act. Dude, it is unbelievable. It's so awful when you look at how good number two was. Number two is so good.
This is my movie number two. I call him Number Two.
What did you watch this week?
I watched Austin Powers, Man of Mystery.
Did you?
Nah. But I would like to.
How well do you reckon that's aged?
Have I ever mentioned how much I love Michael Myers? I haven't I've watched bits and pieces of a whole bunch of stuff that I've had on the boil for a while. I watched a bit more of Clone Wars. It's still shit. I don't know why I keep watching it. Love the podcast, More Civilized Age. I'll give them another shout out. The show Clone Wars fucking sucks. And on the back, like, I think I'm trying to build myself up to watch The Acolyte, which is the new Star Wars show that has an audience rating. Now, if you don't know anything about this, audience. I was talking, wow, what a great audience rating. it's not a great audience rating for IMDb, for The Acolyte on IMDb. Because the score on there is 3.9.
Mm-mm.
An audience score.
Mm-mm.
Now, usually, Star Wars, like anything that's got a label on it like that, even the shittiest of DC stuff, like Justice League, has a score of like 5 because there's a bunch of fanboys that will just go on there and score at 10 to get its rating up.
Mm.
The Acolyte, the new Star Wars show, is so bad.
Hmm.
That even fanboys are like, nah, I can't be fucked doing that shit. What's happening with Star Wars and to a lesser degree Marvel, though, it'd be interesting to see what the reviews for Deadpool, like from Neckbeards, the reviews of Deadpool and Wolverine are actually pretty fucking strong. So Marvel might be back in the game on the back of this film. But they're not going to be able to pull that out of their art, like... It sounds like they've sort of pulled out all the stops in this film to like please the fanboys and stuff. But everything else Marvel have released on Disney Plus in the last 3 years or so has been pretty dire. And Star Wars is, I mean, they've just lost so much cash.
Why? Star Wars, stop it. Leave it alone.
Well, because they have a release cycle, right? So they've got to release at least one thing a year, usually two things a year. But it's just not being done with any love or any... I mean, the reason why people love The Mandalorian Season 1 so much, because it was, yeah, still set in the Star Wars universe, but, like, different, you know? Like, it was kind of like a Western, a little bit like Kung Fu, like the show Kung Fu.
Yeah, it's just stop making Star Wars stuff. It's boring. Can do it.
I mean, Andor, people loved Andor. I haven't got through. I've only watched the first couple of episodes. There has been some stuff that people have loved, but, like, I just, at what point do we sort of admit, like, oh, maybe this universe isn't as colorful and fleshed out as we maybe thought it was. You know what I mean? Like, but we all know that why Disney bought Star Wars, because they saw it as a printing press for money, and they're killing their own golden goose by just putting out shitty product that they don't care whether it's good or not, and just whacking fucking Star Wars on the label, on it. What I just saw before we started just recording, and I don't know whether it's a troll or not, so if it is, I'm dumb and I shouldn't have paid attention to it, but Comic-Con's happening at the moment, and Robert Downey Jr. just got, he just appeared at Comic-Con at the Deadpool thing to announce that he's playing Doctor Doom in the Fantastic Four film.
Okay.
So Doctor Doom is pretty much, he's like the big bad guy in the Marvel Universe. They've held off on him for a long time because, one, they didn't have the rights, and then, two, once Marvel got the rights back, they were like, oh, we'll wait until we do a Fantastic Four film for propers, and then we'll bring Doctor Doom in. But as far as I can tell, and I haven't had the chance to do any research on this, Robert Downey Jr., who played Iron Man in the same cinematic universe, is now going to play Doctor Doom.
Doesn't make sense.
No. I'm not saying this in an excited way. I'm saying it in a way of, like, this could be the exact moment where all of Marvel shit falls in a hole. Because to me, the first thing I think of is, if this is legit, and maybe it'll be part of a storyline of, like, it's a Tony Stark from an alternate universe or something. I don't know. But if it's just straight, like, we're casting, I think it's Eric Von Doom or Robert, something like that, but Dr. Doom, and we're casting Robert Downey Jr. in that role because we're desperate to get RDJ back, because he was the cornerstone of the first 24 films or whatever. It just smacks of desperation.
Ugh.
Right?
Yeah, boring.
Like, you just can't think of... To me, it suggests that Marvel are in panic mode. If they've, like, oh, we've got to get RDJ back.
Oh, God. Let it die.
Right?
Let it die.
Just do something different. Just do something different. Like, I know I bring these shows up a lot because I love them, but, like, you allowed Netflix to go off and make Daredevil and Jessica Jones and stuff and make a very adult, weighted show. Do that. Just because it's on Disney Plus doesn't mean that everything has to be for the family, right? Like, try something. Go out and find some different characters. Like,
nah, it's too hard. They'll make too much money if they just regurgitate the same shit. That's why I never see movies at the cinema. As nothing's good comes out. It's boring.
It'll be very interesting to see whether Deadpool and Wolverine, like, the because the first two Deadpool films, whether you like them or not, they're very much R-rated films, or M15 films in Australia. Like, there's swearing, there's sex, there's drug use, there's, like, these are not Disney Plus films. So it'll be very interesting to see what that's like, you know? But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Like, it was Nick Kaday posted on Facebook of, like, this is ..? Yeah, thanks for the scoop, Nick.
Who were me to get in between nerds?
I assume Kaday was probably live streaming Comic-Con. But anyway, yeah, sorry for mentioning it on the podcast if you didn't want me to either. But it's too late. I already have. But that's it. I haven't really watched anything else. I watched, I used to watch Lucifer. Do you know the show Lucifer?
Yeah, I do. I never watched it.
It's real bad, but I never finished it. So I've gone back to finish that because I'm a completionist. Watched a couple more episodes of the, the Robert Downey Jr. Vietnam spy show, The Improviser.
Oh, yeah, nah.
The Interpreter. I can't remember the name. Who cares? Anyway. It's on HBO. You can look it up. But it's G1 Climax season in New Japan Pro Wrestling at the moment, bub, which means there's essentially a three-hour pay-per-view every night. So I haven't really had much time to watch anything but wrestling.
Oh, boy.
What? What?
I'm very tired, Bubba.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be an episode of the podcast if Kelly didn't yawn into the microphone.
Soz.
We decided to do something a little different this week and watch an event, a sporting slash kind of thing event, I don't know. So we watched the opening ceremony of the 2024 Paris Olympic Games.
Yes, we did.
Do you want to say, do you want to
talk? Yeah, I'm just looking, Yeah, fucking settle down. I'm just looking at some pictures from the opening ceremony. I don't know where to start. Oh yeah, no, go.
Well, I can say my piece. Yeah. I thought it was really boring. And it looked cheap and pov. And I felt like I was watching a really bad Rocket Steadford. And the only moment where I was like, oh, well, this is good, was at the end when Celine Dion sang, because it was actually someone singing. I don't know. The things that I've liked about opening ceremonies in the past is like watching performances. The London Games in 2012 is a really good example of that. They had Frank Turner. They had the Spice Girls. They had a whole bunch of different people doing stuff. Daniel Craig jumping out of helicopters with the Queen and stuff. I don't know. There was some
Mr.
fun.
Mr. Bean. Remember that
Mr. famous? Mr. Bean was there.
That was great.
So stuff like that.
That's great.
You know, and I understand it's France, so it's going to be slightly different. But it genuinely just seemed to be a bunch of kids dancing to backing tracks. And there's only so much you can take of that as a
Gaga thing.
Yeah, but again, okay. Am I crazy here? But like, am I Gaga here? I was under the impression that if you're England, London, England, and you're doing and you're doing an opening ceremony, that everyone at the ceremony should be from England, right? But France has got Lady Gaga. She's from America. They've got Celine Dion. She's from Canada. They've got, well, that's it. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, yeah, and
they had Rafael Nadal and Serena Williams like lighting the flame.
Yeah, well, they were carrying the torch. They had a lot of people carrying the torch.
Yeah, but there should be Frenchies, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So I was trying to read up about it. I don't know why they did that, because I thought it was a thing where it's like Australian people. And towards the end of when they were lighting, like, and they light like a massive kind of replica of a hot air balloon, and it's quite beautiful, you know. But
I raised this balloon around the world for 80 days.
Around the world in 80 days.
Steve Coogan was in it and was off to make a bomb with Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm. And they had what film's that?
Steve Coogan, when he first went to Hollywood after the success of the first two seasons of Alan Partridge, made a version of Around the World in 80 Days with Jackie Chan. And it's exactly as bad as you think it would be. But I owned a copy of it because it has Steve Coogan in it. And I've seen it like four or five times because I had it on DVD.
And like, what was the premise?
It's the book Around the World in 80 Days by Jules Verne. But so like, there's two rich people who bet each other that they'll race around the world in 80 days.
But what's the point? Like
in hot air balloons.
But Jackie Chan, like, is he there to, like, karate chop
he's
people?
He's from what I remember. Yeah, he's just karate chopping hot air balloons all over the place. Karate chop. I don't know why that made me laugh so much. I think he's the other guy, like, because it's two gentlemen who have this bet. And I think Jackie Chan's the other gentleman.
Yeah, he is. I'm looking at the movie now. 5.9. 32% Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's... Oh, well, it was Disney. So it was a very, like... Yeah, when you look at... It's very bed knobs and broomsticks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Like... I don't know why... I was trying to find out why... like, with the torch stuff, they did have a lot of people that weren't French kind of doing some, you know... like walking with the flame and stuff. But then towards the end, they had a chick and then they had, you know, a guy and then like Paralympic, you know, people came and like, and it was actually really lovely. Like when she passes the torch to this guy, she walks with him and then he passes it to another guy. They walk together. So by the end of it, there's like 20 of them all walking with the flame.
Hmm.
And then they give it to this old guy who is in a wheelchair, who looks half dead, who is the oldest living Olympian. So he competed in the cycling in 1948.
I'm the oldest living cycler in New York. And
he just looked like he was like, this poor guy, it's pouring with rain, he's outside.
He was actually mouthing to the camera, kill me, kill me.
I love Alien. And then they kind of lit it and it was quite beautiful. And then it goes to Celine Dion. It was quite beautiful. But the rain obviously doesn't help. But the laser show that they had on the Eiffel Tower was pretty fucking amazing. It was pretty amazing.
Pretty.
I thought it was.
Yeah, it's fine. But this, we're not putting on a fucking Crown Casino light show here. This is the Olympic Games. It's time to bring your A game.
I didn't like.
This is what I. Here's my theory on a couple of with everything that we're talking about here, money. I don't think France wanted to pump a whole bunch of money into this because they're like
they spent $1 billion on it
on the fucking opening ceremony. Yes. A billion.
Yes.
Oh my! On what?
Snacks.
Mate,
I don't know.
Half of that money must have gone to fucking Celine and Gaga because they didn't put it into the fucking. Silver and gold trestles that they had everywhere.
Do you know what's really funny? You know that bit that we watched where they that put the Silver Knight or whatever it was delivered the flag, Olympic flag.
Yeah, it only went for 43 minutes. It was great.
And they came on this like horse that was like riding along the river,
mm-hmm.
A mechanical horse that was quite amazing. And then they delivered the flag to the officials. I thought it was like the horse was mechanical horse was pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
And then they gave the flag to the officials and they put it to the pole and then they put the flag up the flagpole upside down. Also, that's not the first time that's happened. That's happened at a lot of Olympic Games where that moment, that big moment with the flag getting up the flagpole, the rings upside down, that's happened so many times that you would think someone will put a little sticker on there saying this way up.
Yeah. All I saw was a lot of breakdancing, so much breakdancing.
I think it was way.
The thing goes for 3.5 hours. Must have seen 2 hours and 45 minutes of breakdancing.
Way, way, way too much dancing. Way too much.
Just so much of it.
So much dancing and just
you
like.
You want people perform. Like, I know Daft Punk have broken up, but like, just from the French music that I like, there's Air, there's Justice, there's Phoenix. Like, there's so many fucking French bands. You played all these French DJs, like, they played their music while people are doing shitty fucking breakdancing to it. Get them there. You know what I mean? Like, you want star power. I just felt like $1 billion, that's fucking insane, especially for what they got. That's crazy. I don't know who's billed them for that, but they're geniuses. Because they didn't outlay $1 billion worth of shit for us to watch.
It's just too much dancing. Like at one point, there was some fun dancing. Like this one chick did this massive like break dancing like on her head, you know, spinning around. And then there was a guy, I think he had cerebral palsy, was like coming on. He walks up with his crutches, throws them away, and then just fucking drops it like it's hard. Like, whoa.
Yeah, he was great.
And it was great. So there was a really, like, little bits of, like, incredibleness, but too much in-between dancing.
Yeah, but Stooks, like, that... So for every moment that existed, there was another 17 minutes of it afterwards.
Dude, I know. I'm saying it's too much. There's
no editing here.
Yeah. Like, because it was too... Like, you know what I love? I love, like, there was a moment where they, like... There was, like, these... They played like heavy metal music on like one of the buildings. I think it was like...
Well, it was a band. I don't know who the band is. I should have done the research. But obviously they're a French metal band. Good. More of that. Like,
and they were like on the side of a building and there was all these women dressed up like Marie Antoinette kind of like behind the windows in like red and pink. And then they like threw out like ribbons of the window. Like those kind of extravagant, like really extravagant, like big... You know, like coordinated things like that. That's really interesting. Laser show. Like, there's all these like little bits and pieces of like, you know, like they did like the, like these kind of flare things in the French flag along some bridges. So it's like just this like big puffs of smoke, which in a town that is quite terrified of, you know, terrorist bombings and stuff, I probably wouldn't do anything involving big puffs of smoke. But it looks amazing and so there's all that sort of stuff. But it's those – yeah, there's something about the that artistry of too much fucking dance, man. Too fucking much.
I just don't think people are capable of editing themselves. I think everybody thinks that they're a genius and they think that their vision's perfect. And the more I watch of stuff as I get older, the more I think there needs to be a fucking editor. Where are the producers and editors on these things going, no, it's too long, there's too much shit.
Listen.
That we cut back to fucking Carl Lewis and Nadal and Serena Williams and the old white lady who no one could tell me who she was in the back of that fucking boat. They must have cut back to it like 11 times. Like, it was just so long and laborious. Mm. Why were they on a boat? No one could fucking tell me. Why is this whole thing on a fucking river? No one could fucking tell me. Why are you not doing it in a stadium? Oh, we wanted to do something different. So no one could actually watch it. It's bullshit. Again,
they didn't want to do it
fucking,
in a stadium.
Like, it feels very elitist as well. Like, only the fucking prime minister or president of France is there and the fucking athletes. Like, just with every passing Olympics, it's. I just think the reason why they've got artists like Gaga and Celine Dion there is because there's a real lack of interest in the Olympics with each passing one. And I think you'll find as time goes on, more and more countries will see it as a poison chalice rather than something that they want to celebrate, because they're spending $1 billion on a fucking opening ceremony that was
I
shit.
I like Celine. I liked it.
Celine Dion was good. You know what I mean? 3.5 hours. You could have wrapped it up in 40 minutes.
But I do like that they had like a love story. Like Paris is the city of love, so they had this like love story where these two people in a library are like looking at each other, and you know, do a little dance about that, and then they reference Les Mis like for a second, and I'm like, do more Les Mis, come on. But yeah, I would have preferred a lot more like singing stuff, you know, a lot more like. Yeah, singing and people singing. And
the Olympic Committee's charter or whatever is to promote sport, culture and inclusion or something like that. Or sport, culture and togetherness or something along those lines.
Mm.
And I didn't see much culture in this. For a country that is steeped in cultural history, I saw fuck all of it. And I think that's what's so disappointing about it. It's like there's so much art that you can tap into and tap on in an opening ceremony in a country like France, and you didn't use fucking any of it. It's all backing tracks and Rocker Steadford fucking, you know, breakdance battles.
I disagree. I think that there was heaps of art and culture. In fact, it was.
But it's not live. It's not. You're not getting the actual people to come and present their art. Like I use the London one again. They had Frank Turner, who barely anyone knows, play "England Keep My Bones" at the opening ceremony. But at the same time, like, you know, Take That played, Spice Girls played. You've got French people who people know.
Yeah, I think...
Why are you getting Gaga for? Like, it's like the only two people who played live weren't French. Besides that metal band who played for like 30 seconds.
I think that the issue is that Paris has too much culture to the point where it's just so in your face and so different that we're not used to it either. Because a lot of their dancing and like just like the stories that they were trying to tell, like they were telling stories through song and dance and blah, blah, blah. Like to me, it just felt really wanky. Because they are very, very cultured and blah, 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 blah.
No, I don't think... I'm sorry, Stix. I completely disagree. I think it's the polar opposite of that. I don't think any stories were being told. I think, like, what was happening here was a by-low budget direct version of...
Well, it wasn't, though, because they spent $1 billion.
Well, I don't know on what. Because they definitely didn't do it on getting artists in or... I don't know. Maybe a fucking few less mechanical horses on the river and maybe but like I just like get them. A few more singers in to actually...
I like that. I like the idea of the athletes coming down the river on boats, you know?
Oh, God, that looks so... No. Nah, that was shit. And who are they waving to? There's no one on the river.
The streets were lined with people.
I didn't see one shot of a street lined with people.
I saw a lot.
Where? We were watching the same telecast.
Yeah, I saw it.
We'll go through it again. We'll go through all 3 hours and 45 but minutes
people
again.
People are along the river. People are along the river and along the bridges where they weren't doing Olympic stuff. People were there.
Maybe the president's kids or something.
No, there was crowds but not of people, actual you people. Fuck. Oh, my God. Like, I'll show you the pictures. Hang on. Let me bring up 9news.com. See, like, there's people there. While they're walking along, there's like this.
That's
you know.
The athletes. That was where all the
no,
athletes
behind
were sitting.
Them, behind them.
No, that's more oh athletes.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, that's more athletes.
No.
And also, if you're talking about that auditorium at the end where that
see
weird
that bridge
silver lady,
see on the side of that bridge. See how along the river there's people standing along the river.
Yeah, there's about 12 people.
No, there's that river goes the whole way through Paris. There's people there. Anyway,
it sucked. Zero grumps.
I'll give it. I'm gonna give Celine one. Gaga, I didn't give a shit about, but I like Gaga, but I didn't care. Heavy metal band, I'm going to give half a grump. And I'm going to give the mechanical horse another half. So I'm going to give it 2 grumps.
What about the light show? You love the light show too.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's worth a grump. Like Celine is worth my grumps. I love Celine. I love her.
My grumps. My lovely lady grumps.
Check it out.
Cool. Well, we tried something different. Next week we'll get back to proper TV shows and...
I feel sick.
Yeah, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this.
I think I'm getting sick.
Great. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Let's check in next week to see how I'm faring.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening. We love you. Tell your friends. Give us five stars.
Five stars.
We love you very much, everybody. I love you.